Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You could check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Justin Salters of Hey Salty Marketing, and today we are going to be discussing growing a marketing business in the time of COVID. Hey Salty has grown 400% in only a year and are expected to grow another 250% in 2022. Justin is learning to transition from doing it all alone, including account services, selling and running his business, to managing and leading his business into the future. He is currently ensuring that he has the correct infrastructure in place so that his business can sustain and grow for many years to come. Thanks so much for joining us today, Justin.
Hey, Julia. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, yeah, we're so happy to have you here. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am based in beautiful Bakersfield, California. We're about an hour and a half north of Los Angeles. So
Very nice.
We get four seasons. I mean, not snow seasons, but we definitely get some chill. It's a great place to be.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it sounds incredible. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I've always had this deep passion for doing good work or doing anything that I have. It's just part of my personality.
Yeah.
But I love seeing what others are doing. I love being just inspired by others people's excellence and then thinking about how can I do this. So Bakersfield, where I'm based and where I'm building my agency, it's my hometown and my wife's hometown. And it's a small to mid-sized market. So working in a small to mid-sized market is just unique because traditionally the avant-garde or the high-end marketing communications is not usually coming out of small town America.
No.
A big thing that inspires me is to show and prove to our clients, this community, and really the marketplace that you can do great work from any place. And it takes you just hardworking professionals with vision and courage to show up and do the work every day. So that's a big part of my inspiration. And I love doing it.
I love that. And so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
By fate.
Everyone says that. No one in digital marketing had a plan to get into it. It's so funny.
It really is. So I started my career working in-house in public relations at Chevron, the oil and gas, multinational oil and gas producer. And I transitioned from there to working for a public affairs firm out here in California and worked on big, actually, political campaigns, ballot measure campaigns, as we call them here, all across the Western U.S. And then I launched as a part of that, my approach has always been fully integrated. So we look at, how do we bring both traditional public relations, traditional media, but then also combining digital strategies and tactics to go in and get results for our clients. So from that, then you start your own agency and you've got to go ahead and do it all. And really clients need and expect everything. And mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I fell into digital marketing was, okay, well, we got to figure out how to go ahead and generate traffic for our clients, convert that traffic, nurture prospects and leads. And it's, here we are. So a wild trial by fire, learning through the wilderness. But yeah, here we are. And I would not choose to be any other place right now.
Yeah, it's always such a unique journey that I hear of how people get into digital marketing. It's always so interesting to hear. So yeah, that's so cool. And then, so why did you decide to start Hey Salty?
Well, I think I shared part of the inspiration. So before starting Hey Salty, I was working remotely for an agency and I was the only remote employee. Mm-hmm. And I saw an opportunity in my immediate market, in my community. So what's kind of unique about us is we're not niche specialized in a specific industry. We are more community focused and, market focused on, let's partner with our clients, figure out their business, their organization's industry, and use really our a deep knowledge of our, the market and local consumers, and our ability to do research to go ahead and serve them. So I saw an opportunity to go ahead and start my own agency, and I stepped out and did it finally after years of talking about it. I was like, it's time to do it. I got to do it. So March 2nd, 2020 was the big momentous day, filled with so much excitement and optimism for the future. And then March 2020, in case anybody missed the date, I'll repeat it. March 2nd, 2020. So yeah, you can imagine what my first few months in business were like.
So what was your reaction, you know, a couple of weeks later when the world just kind of shut down with COVID? How did you handle that?
You know, deep breaths and
so at this point you've left your other job. You're all in with your agency, right?
Yes, left. There was no going back.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting time, to say the least. So, and like I said, I came from the previous firm I was at was primarily a public affairs issues oriented firm. Mm-hmm. So my initial thoughts, honestly, when I launched my own agency were, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do something similar, but here in this market. Well, when the legislature shut down, government shut down, like, and all of a sudden, the only issue that mattered to anybody was COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, mm-hmm. work from home, not work from home, businesses being closed, what's essential, what's not, like all these things, you know, pivots, yep. unprecedented. I was already in the middle of a massive pivot. And so it was very, very crazy. I had a steady list of prospects in my funnel that I had been nurturing and working with, and some proposals that were sent out in that first week and a half. And mm-hmm. then one by one, but very quickly, all of them came back as, yeah, we're not going to go forward right now because we just don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So that put me in a spot of having to continue the big pivot and figure out, okay, well, where do I go? What do I need to do from here? And that's really what kind of provoked and led the launch to, or led the pivot and the transition to, okay, well, I've got some basic digital capabilities. I need to grow these digital capabilities, focus on applying my, deep expertise in messaging, message strategy, and delivering clear messages to specific audiences through digital channels, since people can't do anything in person right now, mm-hmm. and focus on shifting the focus from trying to go towards mid-market and enterprise clients that need issues counsel to small and mid-sized businesses that need digital strategies just to help them stay afloat and keep their doors open. And keep their doors closed at that time, but keep the money coming in so
exactly.
they can pay their employees and keep the businesses around. So it was a very quick transition, and one that was truly not what I had initially planned in the business, but what it definitely taught me was the importance of flexibility as an agency uh-huh. owner responding to market dynamics, which I think is just true in general for any of us in the marketing and communication space. If you are only using strategies and tactics that were around 10, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, you couldn't grow and scale a business on social media. That didn't exist as a channel.
No.
Where are we going to be in 10 years from now with the transition to metaverse, augmented reality, virtual reality experiences, media consumption habits of consumers and how those change? So you've got to always be adapting, always be changing, looking for how to go ahead and pivot your organization and staying up to date on current capabilities. And look at, for me, and I'd preach this to everybody that asked me about running an agency, is you've got to be fully integrated. My opinion is your customers, your clients' customers and their audiences are not only receiving information in one place. So mm-hmm. if you're only bringing a hammer you know, your digital hammer toolkit to help them address their needs. It's like, well, you are underserving them, and either they're going to have to, go hire your competitors and other agencies to serve and fill in the gaps that you're not doing, or they're going to go ahead and get frustrated with you and fire you. And I don't like giving my competitors business, and I don't like clients and accounts leaving us. So
exactly.
There's our business approach.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So you're starting out early COVID. How did your sales and how did that whole process have to change when you were pitching clients in the midst of the early pandemic days?
Well,
because everyone was being so cautious about their spending.
People were being cautious about their spending. I was fortunate enough to have peculiar, and they really are weird, like acts of God that like led me to like be introduced to people via my network who were businesses that in some ways, so my first initial few clients that I brought on were clients who were in strong cash positions. They were strong businesses going into the pandemic. Very disrupted, yes, but they were clients who had in the back of their minds, we need to do something to change our marketing, to change our, you know, our message strategy, how we're getting out in front of consumers so we can go ahead and not just make, you know, marginal year-over-year growth, but really try to do, you know, massive wedges of growth change and address our company. And actually, the first few clients that I signed were companies who hadn't had the time to spend thinking about marketing. And then because of COVID actually, and the shift to virtual work, to not having as many meetings, people not being in the office, it actually created the space and margin for them to go ahead and be very intentional. So,
interesting. So it's like a silver lining.
It was. And what I found is for a lot of the businesses that especially the small and mid-sized businesses, they are conservatively managed. So like, again, that's a big thing, is they were not over leveraged or, you know, at risk of, you know, if, you know, missing, defaulting on any payments, et cetera. And we were able to go ahead and come in. Now, obviously, one thing I did adjust is I kept my prices very conservative, like my fee structure. Mm-hmm. You know, our fees have increased significantly as we brought on more clients and grown the organization and extended our capabilities. So I kept my fees conservative and really committed myself to over-delivering. I'm like, hey, let me go ahead and under-promise and over-deliver, seek to create a very, very good client experience on every interaction.
I love that.
And then let it roll from there.
Yeah, that's so smart. Okay, So you've seen massive growth during COVID. So are you now working with a team under you?
Yeah, excuse me one second.
Sure.
So I started in March of 2020. My first team member joined in December of 2020. That was a part-time virtual assistant who I still have, part-time executive assistant. I found that as I was growing, I just needed somebody to help make sure I was getting everything done that we had committed to do for the clients and keeping me out of my inbox so that I was able to go ahead and just, you know, actually get the work and keep growing the business.
Yeah.
I hired my first, finally in November, so about 7 months, 7-8 months into the business, I finally felt like, okay, I caught my stride. I had picked up, you know, a decent amount of monthly retainer clients. So I knew, okay, my wife was like, okay, I can breathe easy. I mean, on top of all of this, my wife was pregnant when we had our second child was born in August of 2020. So like, I started this business and then pandemic happens. We've got like no money coming in. Like, how much do we have in savings, Justin?
So you had serious motivation to make this work.
Exactly. And yeah, my wife's a stay-at-home mom presently. So it's like, okay, we have got a lot of motivation. So
100%.
Finally November came around and I had, you know, monthly retainer clients. So I'm like, okay, I can breathe. I know that we're going to be able to pay the mortgage and, you know, keep food on the table. And then, so I brought on an assistant to help me as projects were coming in. And then it was wild. Fee income between November and March, we doubled. Wow. And I'm like, okay.
Which between December and March, is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
And totally not like unplanned, not expecting, but I was just, I had in mind, this is just part of my vision was never to be a consultant and to just do the work and have like, you know, an assistant or somebody to help me. Mm-hmm. My vision is to build an agency, to build a high performing momentum agency with a team that works underneath me. So I knew, okay, I got to go out and get business. Like that's the way you do. That's the way you build an agency.
Yep.
And so we quickly grew those first 3 months, was working like crazy. And I'm like, okay, time to hire my first employee. And so employee number one started in April of 2021. Mm-hmm. I had to get an office. I mean, like, and I tell people, I'm like, everything you think in doing a business is like, oh, I'm just going to go out and build a business. And if it grows, awesome. But running the business, like office space, getting internet for the office, getting furniture in like supply chain issues in logistics, deadlocks, everything takes longer when you're trying to build a business.
You know,
whatever. Yeah. In COVID, it's like whatever you think, however long you think it's going to take, like give yourself three times that long and build your calendars around that. So, yeah. First employee started then and we kept just like picking up, maintaining momentum, going, you know, like we'd go grow a lot in 1 month, sustain for another like 2 months to kind of figure it out. Then it's like, oh, and then we've got another bump. And then, so I hired second full-time employee in August. And then at the end of August, and then my third full-time employee joined in September. And into just a few weeks, right after the beginning of the new year, our fourth full-time employee will be joining, plus me and my assistant. So the team has gone from just me and a part-time assistant to me and four others and my assistant within a year. And like what I'm projecting and modeling out is that by this time next year, we'll likely have between 8 and 10 people on staff.
That's incredible. And so what kind of processes did you have to put in place while you were bringing on all these new staff?
Well, you know, this is kind of that you learn as you go thing. But the biggest thing, the biggest and most important thing as you're growing is it comes. So one of the most common things and complaints you hear from clients and from accounts is that as the agency grows and it's no longer the president or the founder who's doing the work, that they no longer have that expertise, it's very common that the quality of the work or the quality of the client service can degrade. Mm-hmm. I have no tolerance for that. Like we demand fees that are consistent with the quality of the work that we do. Mm-hmm. And our clients hire us for our insight, our expertise, and our client service. So there's no room for it to go ahead and fall off. So, one of the things that we're currently in a very large project, but, we're in the middle of it. We should have it wrapped up, in a few more weeks, but we are building out standard SOPs. We're building out workflows for every scope that we execute so that my senior account executives, account supervisors, you know, those mid-level employees, mm-hmm. Are able to go ahead and delegate to the account coordinators and account executives who are then able to follow an SOP. Okay, what do I need to go ahead and get done? What, you know, who needs to approve it? Who needs to review it? When does it go to the client? Setting these timelines, because that's the biggest thing is you can't keep everything in your brain as the owner, the founder, the president.
No, you've got to go ahead. It'd be a huge bottleneck.
Exactly. And I mean, I already joke around. I took the week of Thanksgiving off to spend with my family. And I joked that my team got, I think, three times as much done that week when I, you know, when I'm not in the office and not bugging them on Slack. So
that's so funny, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Okay. So you mentioned that, you know, you guys are growing steadily. Every few months, you're having another bump and, you know, you're just bringing on more clients. What do you attribute that to? Is it, you know, referral based, or are you actively out there, you know, just, you know, interacting, cold calling, trying to bring in more sales? What do you attribute that growth to?
I think it's a both and. So we definitely are getting a significant amount of referrals. And that's great. But then referrals for us we're getting referrals and being brought into competitive bid processes. So it's not like a referral and a shoe-in. Yep, let's sign them and it's great. I mean, I honestly have found that a lot of times those, like, the clients that tend to be the most difficult to work with or that we just have more friction with are clients who are like, oh, I heard you could really help me out. Can you put together a plan, you know, a plan for me? What does it take to go ahead and have these goals? Generally, what happens is clients are really great about talking about their goals and their objectives and their vision, mm-hmm. but they have not done any thinking through, okay, what is this going to cost? What do I need to invest to go ahead and make this happen?
Yeah.
So my experience is like, and we'll see where we go in the new year, but I kind of, if a client can't commit to like, this is what the budget that I have is, mm-hmm. not one of those loosey-goosey, oh yeah, like I think we can totally make something in that range work. No, I want to know like, what's in your business plan? Because we can build any communications plan to work for your budget. You just might not be able to get the results that you are hoping for if you're not willing to make the investment. You know, if you've got a shoestring budget, don't expect work that's going to win a Cannes Grand Prix. Like, you know,
exactly.
Cannes Lion. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the other thing, Julia, that I think is incredibly important for agency owners is you have to have a number. Like, if you as your agency owner do not have a number and a specific goal around what you need to go ahead and get to, then you don't, like, you lack that motivation. You've got to go ahead and have something and create. And then you also, as an agency owner, have to create incentive structures for yourself. Like, if I want to achieve this much in revenue, if I hit this much in monthly revenue in, you know, in pacing for a 12-month period, how am I going to reward myself? Well, you know, what am I going to treat myself to for doing that? So this year, we blew past it. You know, I started the year with a goal of doing $250,000, in fee income, and we're going to wrap up and do more than twice that. So,
That's so
but
cool.
Thank you. So that was the goal. Growing from, we did just about 100 in the 8 months of 2020, which was also fantastic considering COVID.
Totally.
And then hit, you know, so I was like, okay, I did 100 last year. I think I can get to 250 by the end of the year. And I remember sitting down with my accountant and my accountant's like, oh, that's a really big jump. And now like my accountant's like, who also happens to be my father-in-law, is like, okay, what's the goal for next year? What do we
He's
need to
on
start
board.
Planning? What do we need to start planning for? So like next year, I cannot fathom what it would be to go ahead and grow another 400% and do 2 million next year. So our goal is to do 1.2 to 1.3 in 2022. Mm-hmm. But what that does is that I'm able to go ahead and reverse engineer. I've got a goal in my head. There's a book called Vivid Vision that I recommend for every agency owner. So I've got a vivid vision where I've talked about the types of clients that I want to serve, what our average work looks like. And also though, like, a big part of our conversation as we grow is figuring out, okay, which clients are the right fit for us, because not every yes. client is the right fit. Mm-hmm. And it really is, okay, figuring out, okay, if a client can't commit a certain amount of spend every month to their communications and marketing, then they're probably not the right fit for us, because our approach is very heavy on the strategy and on the planning components of it. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time and energy really diving into and forming a consultative partnership. So if clients don't have, and what that means is that upfront investment yields significantly better results on the back end. But if, you know, if a client is like, nope, I just need somebody to do SEO for me to get like 3 blog posts out a month and blast them around the internet to create some backlinks, that is not the right client for Hey Salty. No. And
you're not going to be able to get the results with that.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, you know, this is just going to be, you know, frustrating for you, because you're going to be like, why am I not getting results? And I'm going to say, well, do you know what you're paying for? You're getting the results you're paying for. We've got ideas around, we've got a list on our wall of dream clients, you know, accounts we want to go after. We've got ideas around what we're looking to get fees per month for new clients that are coming in. And it's like, okay, I mean, like, truthfully, if we can go ahead, the proposals that we've responded to this week and that are out, if all of these proposals come in within January, we will be on pace to go ahead and hit those very aggressive growth goals. So that's kind of where it's like, oh, crap.
I'm so interested in, you said you've got your dream list of clients. So have you obtained anyone on that dream list at this point?
Yes, I do. I have a handful of them. And actually, from several months ago, I put two organizations. One is a public agency here in Bakersfield. The other is a nonprofit, a large nonprofit corporation. I mean, I guess they're technically both large nonprofit corporations. Mm-hmm. And I put them on the list of, okay, I want to figure out how we can go ahead and bring some Hey Salty mojo to these clients. And
yeah,
like,
it's so smart having that dream list. We do the same with Ruby Robin, and it just helps you have that clarity and focus. And I'm always so curious to know, like, what are your strategies? Like, how do you reach out to them?
Well, I think so, a lot of it for me is, so I'm kind of more, I'm a relationship driven sales, approach to sales, mm-hmm. and that consultative sales process.
Yep.
Because if somebody is willing to hire you within, you know, a day or 24 hours, they need the same exact amount of time to go ahead and decide to fire you. Mm-hmm. But if you have a vested relationship, it just creates that longevity. So, the dream clients, if you will, that we've identified right now are clients that someone on my team or myself, we've got these tangential relationships to. So it's like, okay, we know that this account is one that we want to go after. Now let's begin, you know, let's think about, you know, let's not be overly cheesy salesy. Let's not spam people with LinkedIn messages. Mm-hmm. My least favorite sales approach ever.
So annoying.
Like, I've just started reporting people. I'm like, oh, I'm like, even people like I kind of know from Bakersfield that send me spam, you know, sales messages. I'm like, clearly you're using some LinkedIn sales lead generator. And like, this is annoying. I did not accept your connection request. So report to you spam unsolicited requests. I'm like, done. I don't have time for you.
They're so annoying.
It's like, okay, it's kind of like intentionality, if you will. Like, so my wife and I, we started dating before the era of, you know, swiping left and right. So
yeah, kind of, lucky you.
I wouldn't know what to do today. But I joke around that we kind of knew each other. I was like, hey, I think she's cute. Like, I told some friends of mine, I'm like, I got to find a way to date that girl. I didn't start spamming her or like showing up like, you know, just, hey, we should go on a, like, you nurture that relationship over time, and then it's like, okay, here's the opportunity now. So I think it's the same way of, you know, consistently being around people, finding opportunities to naturally, you know, just making sure that people know what you do, the services you offer, and the results, you know, the outcome that you've got when you work in a, you know, for us, you know, if you work in a, you know, if you're geographic focused, like we are currently, people, you know, they know who our other clients are, and they see, oh, you're working with so-and-so. We respect them, and they really like you. So there must, maybe there's something for us. If you're in an industry, if you take the industry niche approach to building your business, you also though, you know, find the trade groups, find the places where people are convening and they're meeting in mastermind groups. And they're like, oh, you're having this problem with, you know, getting reviews. Hey, you know, like I've got this, you know, I brought on this marketing team and they've helped us to increase our reviews, which has led to more page rank, you know, improved our rankings, yada, yada. We're now on the map pack, things like that. So I think you can never underestimate that. And I think that, you know, once you begin to pick up momentum, you know, it's Newton's laws, right? Things in motion tend to stay in motion unless a force, you know, acts against them. And, or you can get behind it, you get that momentum and you keep pushing, you know, further, you begin picking up speed and really seeing that scaling growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Such great tips and insight. I love that. So we are going to be wrapping up here shortly. Is there anything else you'd like to add about growing your agency during COVID?
Well, I just think like growing your agency, I'll say like during what I've learned from growing your agency during COVID is to be flexible and to be open, like let consumer demand or and not even demand like what they're asking for, but you need to know what your consumers need to solve their problems and focus on let that drive your product. So it's the same thing with, you know, product market fit. We as marketing agencies, if you want to grow, you need to go ahead and always be looking for product market fit. Are the products and services that you're selling, that you're offering, are they fit for what the marketplace needs? And sometimes, I mean, think about it. 12 years ago, none of us knew we needed an app to take pictures and put filters on them and share with our friends. So you've got to go ahead and if you want to be truly powerhouse, fast growing agency, you've got to have that insight and intuition to know what your clients need and to go ahead and offer that to them. But then like the second thing I'd say is you got to go ahead and document, you know, there's a SaaS app called Trainual and their like thing is do it, document it, delegate it. Like,
yes,
that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is as you're hiring, hire people that complement you and that fill in the areas where you're weak instead of hiring people who are just like you. Hire people that are like, oh, a great culture fit, like, that's great if we just want to go to happy hour every day. But like, no, we need people who can be like rock star performers, who can deliver results for our clients and will help us go ahead and grow. So like, those are my things, you know, like process, vision, goals, and delegate it and hire the right people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I actually have a podcast guest who's going to come on and talk only about Trainual. She loves it. She wants to do an entire episode talking about how it's like changed her agency.
Oh, super cool. So we're not on Trainual right now. We're, like I mentioned, we're in a big SOP project, but we're using Asana. And we've hired an Asana consultant who's helping us, you know, document and get everything written and taken care of. But totally... I am like looking at Trainual as a potential. So I'll have to tune into that episode and hear how they leveraged it in their agency.
Absolutely. Yes. I'll let you know once that goes live.
Perfect.
So where do you see Hey Salty Marketing in 5 years time?
Oh man. So, I definitely want us to be like the dominant player in my home market in Bakersfield. In 5 years time, I want us to be in the 5 to 7 million range for fee revenue. And I see us having an additional 1 or 2 offices. So going, you know, entering new markets, you know, one of the big challenges in a small market is talent. I think, you know, right now everybody's having talent issues, but yeah, especially when you're in small markets that don't have a high concentration of marketing and public relations professionals, it's just hard to find people. So, I think that that's definitely on the horizon for growth is, okay, how do we expand into new markets, into new talent, labor markets? But I think just continuing to grow, continue to focus on our fully integrated approach that mm-hmm. marries both traditional public relations with marketing and you're even, you know, potentially expanding into more paid media, paid advertising components. So we're just going to keep growing, keep serving clients. The other, it's, you know, up in the air, but we may end up as we grow finding a, you know, industry specialization, industry niche that we want to go ahead and double down on. Mm-hmm. But if I've learned anything from COVID, it's that, is it Eisenhower or the quote about, you know, plans are for, you know, ignoring the best plans, you know, are never executed, something along those lines. Got a plan, got a big vision. But we're just going to continue focusing on, we're going to focus number one on serving our clients and getting awesome results for them and taking care of our people. And I've got confidence that if we keep those two in the right order, that wherever we end up 5 years from now will be a very great place.
Yes. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm excited to see where you guys will be in 5 years' time.
Thanks, Julia.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Seth Godin, anything by him, but especially This Is Marketing. I think most important book you can read in the marketing space.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Not during the holiday time, but generally starts between 4:45 and 5. I get up, have a little, drink some coffee, have some quiet time, meditation time. I like to work out every weekday and then get ready, spend time with my girls. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And like to hang out with them in the morning before I head into the office.
Nice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yes, I actually really, really follow Richard Edelman, the CEO of Edelman, the number one public relations agency in the world. Okay. I really look up to him as a thought leader and as somebody who's clearly knows how to lead a big organization.
Yes. And what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh, my favorite online tool. I love, we use an app, I'm going to give you two. Sprout, because I love Sprout for reporting and, you know, scheduling social media, listening in on what, you know, around our clients, but then also providing really good reporting and good insights for them. Mm-hmm. But then also we use a public relations app called Meltwater that has allowed us to unlock such incredible data and insights for our clients and really just improve their experience.
Cool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I would have known how fun and, don't get me wrong, being an entrepreneur is incredibly hard, but I wish I would have, I wish that I would have known at the beginning how rewarding and how much when you put in the passion and the energy, you can see great results because I spent more than a decade working for other people before I finally got the gumption to go out on my own. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much, so I can't really, you know, I've got no regrets, but I wish I would have been more encouraged and had known more about entrepreneurship earlier in my career.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Justin. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thanks, Julia. I appreciate the opportunity.